Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Welcome back, and special welcome to new members. I just did a big push on social media after I got all the stuff organized into categories, or collections they're called, and that attracted a bunch of new people. So welcome to the club. We've got Rob Pandola, we've got Jorge Sepulveda, Banjo Flamingo, Jan Espra, Mike Wicks, D. Benway, Eric Westfall, Cagatillo, Mark Grisey, Zach Waite, Peter, Patreon, Pazsec, David Wolf, and Manuel. So welcome to the club. Feel free to explore and comment and start conversations and be curious. Okay, so for today, earlier today I posted a video of me playing this chorale. The chorale is one that I started looking at during a mailbag episode last week. So in the mailbag episode, someone had asked, well, do you work on these chorales doing all four voices at the same time? Because I had been posting on Sundays a chorale where I just do one voice at a time and layer them. And that's a way to kind of just do it on the fly, you know, without working anything out, because it's pretty easy to just do one voice and layer it up, and then you hear it all together. Whereas if you do all four voices, unless you're really a way more killing sight reader than I am, you have to spend some time working out the fingerings. So especially to get it to kind of flow in a way like where it sounds like the voices are moving, you know. So I'll go through it here. I'm going to move kind of fast because if I go through every single thing, it'll really take a long time. But I'll just talk about some of the choices. If I were to look at this right now and just try to get a fingering as fast as I could, how would I do it? Well, I look at the first chord. Okay. A little more volume here. Okay, E minor. Now, if I have the opportunity to play three open strings on a chord, I'm going to do it. So we got first position. with the E, G, B, E right here. Obviously, we're in the key of E minor, so this is a good key for guitar. Now what happens? Well, on the second beat, we've got a B minor. Okay, so in my mind, in order to kind of think of my fingerings, I'm also thinking of chord formations, you know, so even though this is a linear type of composition, meaning all the main purpose of it is for each voice to smoothly move in a horizontal fashion, we have to play it vertically, meaning you have to play kind of like chords on the guitar. So you want to be playing chords. That's why I would play it like this, as opposed to and using the open string for the D, because if I use the open string for the D, I'm going to interrupt that tenor voice, which is the F sharp, you know. The bass is the one going, right? So you want to hear that. Sorry. And when it gets to the C, what do we have here? What is a C? Like a C major 7. Now, Bach wouldn't call it a C major 7, but we can if we want. Now, what's this? You know. Do we need to analyze this? I don't think so. I'm just seeing, I'm looking up the alto voice. I see. Right? So, that's like, that's just a little chromatic move neighboring underneath the main tone, which is the E, right? So we got. And then it comes to this. So everything's leading towards this B7 kind of thing. Right, so we can go, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking E minor. Now, why am I not playing it here? Because it's too much of a stretch, so I gotta get to this B7, which then makes me want to play the thing before the B7, also up there. As opposed to playing that down here, where I was before. I was down here. Then I'd have to jump up here. I'd rather jump earlier. I'd rather jump here. You know, I'd rather jump, sorry. And we get the B7 with the A minor there. Then back to. All right, so we got. Now this is. Excuse me. This is when you look at just the bass and the soprano together, you got, so you have a contrary motion thing happening, and what's happening is actually they're switching places. So this is a G in the bottom with an E in the top, and it gets to being an E in the bottom and a G on the top, and in between those is the octave. It's a cool little switcheroo. I learned that when I was studying counterpoint back in the day, back at Juilliard, and from a great teacher named Kendall Briggs, and he would talk about, oh, you want to get this? It's a way of moving on one chord without really moving. You're just switching voices. So the soprano's coming up, E, F sharp, G, and the bass is going down, G, F sharp, G, F sharp, E, so. And then you got an in-between voice here. You're just putting the B here, and then and then you have the back to the B7 here, and then the bass keeps moving down, and you get to the C, and then it keeps moving down, and then you get to here, this diminished sound. Now, what is this? It's a full diminished, right? But I'm thinking of this as a 5 of 5, because where does it go? It goes to the 5. Very nice to play a chord with nothing in the left hand. E, G, B, E. Right? So the first phrase. All right. So the chords that I'm thinking of are E minor, B minor, C, and then this is kind of like already becoming a B seven. But you could even almost think of this as F sharp minor seven, although that's kind of modern terminology. But it, as a shortcut, I mean, when you play this, you think you would play that a lot as an F sharp minor seven type of guitar voicing. So if you want to have a cheat code, you could think of it that way. But then it goes to B7, E minor, B7, E minor, C major, and like an E7, I'm sorry, F sharp 7, you know, 5 of 5. Okay, next phrase, starting on E minor. To me is all pretty basic, just E minor, then to C major, then to a G, then to a C, for one of the first chord formations you ever learn on guitar, right? This C right here. So that can all be played just down here, second position, first position. This is third position, second position, first position. Now, so this part, I'm looking at the last bar of the first system. So this is, you don't hear this type of thing too much, but why would Bach be using a C add 9 chord or whatever you might call it? Well, it's not really what that means vertically. It's more about this voice is moving up. This alto voice needs to get from C to E, and it's got that D in between, right? So it's going, the alto's, that's what's happening, right? It's like an A minor 6 kind of sound. Change something here. I can't get this. I mean, I kind of can get it, but it's a real stretch, and I would never want to really try to do that in the middle of playing. So I'm just going to bring that G up the octave. You can't bring the other voices down. It would ruin the whole shape of it. So from that bar, you can tell what these sounds are. This is all just kind of G. That's clearly a G triad. A little ornate thing is happening in the tenor for this whole thing, because it goes da, 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 da. So that's the sort of florid line of that part. To a G sound here, or really B minor. It could be G here, but once you add in, well, I don't know. The F sharp is, I don't really know what to call this. It almost sounds like A minor because. You're going to, yeah. Sounds kind of like 4-5-1, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what I would call it. So once you get to that next bar, you're here. You kind of kind of lose the bass, because really what's happening, if it was voice, the bass would be sustaining underneath it. Right? But in the guitar, it kind of dies out. If you kind of try to hit it harder. Oops. Get it to stay, you know. All right, so the next phrase, E minor again. Oops, that was a little sloppy. Okay, so what are we gonna do here? You can do it here also. Nah, that's no good, because you have to move a finger. So here, what I'm trying to do is I want the tenor voice to move without really taking off. An easier way to grab it would be to the C that's in the tenor voice would be to go. But if I do that, I lose all the other voices. So I'm going to do this kind of awkward move where I just slide the third finger over. And I'll try not to lose too much. Some of these are about compromise. To a G7, to a C, back to an E minor, and this is C major, starting on this phrase again, so we're E minor, now when you hear, you really feel like you're in the key of G now, because you've got it. This cadence sounds like a 1 to a 4, right? Now when you come back to here, that now reinforcing it again with another switcheroo kind of thing. And then back to another C. And then to an A minor. Resolving in G. So this is a little cadence that's like modulated to the key of G. And you'll hear this a lot in chorales where there's like an episode that's in the relative minor or relative major or something like that, especially kind of before the last wrap up, you know. So this is a little excursion into the closely related key of G major, you know, the relative major of E minor. So that phrase again, starting on E minor. To G, to a G7, you know, to C, again to C, to A minor. Sorry, what am I doing? I did something wrong. Oh. Right, I skipped a note. Again, on that G, I have to bring the bass note up from here, right? So let me say it one more time, because I was a little unclear that time. So E minor, to G, to G7, to C again, to C, to kind of a G, A minor, G, D7. To G major, okay? Now the last phrase, the melody jumps up. And this would be a good candidate for let's get the kind of the bass and the treble together. Oh, happening. Everybody's got a lot of action in this last phrase here. So what's happening? Well, if we fill in the voices, so we just came from G, right? We just went or something in G, and then now we're jumping up to another inversion of G, but And we're doing kind of like in the last phrase when we went to, when we did, what was it? It was like, yeah, we did. We did G, G7C, like, we're doing a similar sound here. See, that F natural is a real indicator that something's happening. Now there's this moving voice of, but I'm gonna do it here. I just like the sound of using that open string. I mean, it could do this, but it's hard. You have to let go of something. So if I don't want to let go of something, I just use this open string. Now this is getting too high up on the fretboard, so I'm actually gonna play the D down here. So that's gonna be something like. Yeah. And I'm not worried about this stretch, because it's gonna come like this. That pinky's gonna be able to come back down. And then it comes to E minor, and then a little diminished. There's like A diminished, right? You know, which is resolving back to E minor again. And then you've got a D. You could also play it here. But to me, I'd rather go like this. Okay, so we've got, oh, sorry. And then you got to G, to an inversion of G, to A, to B, right? And then to E minor, and then to an inversion of E minor, to an A, because you have the bass line coming up. A minor 6, and then, of course, to an E major, B7 to an E major, because you would always end in E major, never E minor, because E minor would be a dissonance, which would be out of the order of nature and God and spirituality. So that last phrase, boys, it's great, right? Say the chords, G, G7, C, D, E minor, A diminished, A, E minor, D, G, A, B, E minor, A minor 6, B 7, E major. Me playing it without talking. Something else, isn't it? You know, that he would just dash these out every Sunday for the congregation, and you know, there's so much detail and so much hip stuff in there. He's really going above and beyond for that job. But Bach, you know, he had 21 mouths to feed, a lot of kids, so he had to do good work. So anyway, I hope this is a good start to your week, uplifting musically, spiritually, mentally, and everything else. I have some suggestions and requests for stuff this week, I'm going to kind of fulfill one of those by starting on a new series this week. I have an idea. I need to get one of my guitars back from the shop to do it because it's appropriate to do it on a specific guitar. But a very famous solo that I would like to go over that I've been requested to do. So I will get into that and look for that this week. And thank you again so much for spreading the word and for making this a special place for all of us to work on the guitar and get our groove on. All right. So thank you and see you next time. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.